I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I have been blessed to be here this morning so far. The verse that the brother shared in the opening definitely caught my attention. I think it was a good verse to share in the introductory of the message as well, so it could almost be a text for the sermon. The series of events that has brought us up here and has brought us here to the United States for this time have not been easy. It has been a real struggle for me to learn to trust God through all of these events. So, for the title of the message this morning, I want to look at learning to trust our Heavenly Father. Now, I am still learning to trust my Heavenly Father, so I might be a little bit inadequate to talk on it, but there's principles in the Word of God that we can look at. Have you ever been anxious? Depressed? Worried? You wonder why the sky isn't as blue as it used to be, or the sun is bright? Then there's that song that we sometimes sing, I don't know if you know it or not, but it says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And then maybe some brother, well-meaning brother or sister, comes up to you and says, "You just need to trust in the Lord. Just keep trusting in God." And you think to yourself, "I don't even know what that means anymore." What does it mean to trust? Yeah, I know I need to trust, but what does it actually mean? How do I do it? The opposite of trust is doubt. The fruit of doubt is fear. To learn to trust God is to have faith in God. And we can see the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And it goes on. So, we see that it is a fruit of the Spirit. So how do we get from knowing that we should trust in God, the head knowledge, to actually trusting in God with our hearts? To really trust God, we have to know Him. That's actually the first point of this sermon, but we're actually going to be looking at it at the very end. We're going to be looking at that last. But it's the basis. When Ian first got sick, and we had to take him to the doctor, we ended up having to keep him there for quite a long time. And they needed to be doing some tests. They did ultrasounds. And every time the doctors would want to do something to him, he might whimper a little bit or cry. And then I would put my hand on him or talk to him. He would usually calm down. But they wanted to do an MRI. And they weren't sure if they needed to sedate him or not. They said, "Well, we're going to try to do it without sedating. It's going to be best if we don't have to sedate him, if he can stay still." So they took him into that little room. It was a cold room. Lights were going and machines were buzzing. And I wasn't sure if he was going to lose it or not, but I laid him on that table, that little table that moves back and forth, and he just looked up at me. And I just laid my hand on him, and I looked down at him, told him it would be okay. But I wasn't sure if it was going to be. Ian was trusting in me. He didn't even cry. And I had to think why it was being so hard for me to trust in my Heavenly Father. It was like that through a lot of his hospital stay. He was he was always very trusting, would always get calmed down. And I always had to look at it. Look at that example that he was setting. And I had to recognize that I was not trusting my father like he was trusting his. So I could read a lot of verses this morning about commandments of trusting our Heavenly Father, of promises if we do. But I'm not necessarily going to do that this morning. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 15. This chapter has been these verses have been a big inspiration for me through this time. There is some key life principles in these verses that if we follow these key principles, then we will learn to trust in God with our hearts, not just with our minds. And Jesus also tells us that our joy is going to be full. Now, these principles can be applied to more areas in our lives than just learning to trust in God. But we're going to look at them, and especially in that light this morning. So I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 17. And I want to just notice down through there, I just want to pick out the points for this sermon. And maybe just first I'm going to point out before we read in verse 2, when it talks about he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. Sometimes Jesus sees fit to clean us up a little bit. In Spanish, it actually uses the word to clean up or to clean, to purge. The key of living is bearing fruit. The key of bearing fruit is abiding. The key of abiding is obeying. The key of obeying is loving. The key of loving is knowing. So I'm going to read verse 1 to verse 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and the men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all the things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Point number one is bearing fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. We want to bear fruit. That's the way to have a fruitful life, is to give everything that we have to God and to have the fruits of the Spirit in us. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In a very difficult time, to read those verses, it's like, yes, I want to do that. Yes, that's what I want for my life. I want to rejoice in the Lord always. I don't want to be worrying about everything. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything. We don't really want to be worrying about everything, but we just somehow do sometimes. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ Jesus. That peace sometimes needs to elude us. I found it interesting that in verse 5, the word moderation, let your moderation be known unto all men. And I was reading down through these verses, and I had read them in Spanish, and I was like, that doesn't hardly seem like saying the same thing. The word moderation, I don't really know what it, I don't have a Strong's concordance. Somebody did look it up for me then. But in Spanish, it actually uses the word that's more refers to a friendliness. I always took it as being like friendly. Let your friendliness be known unto all men. Or, I'm not sure what other word I'd written down here, but it more seemed to point towards be friendly. So it tended to fit in there a little bit more. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your friendliness be known unto all men, or don't always go around with a long face. I don't know if I'm taking it out of context or not, but that's how I had always taken it. Don't worry. As sons and as children of our Heavenly Father, we don't really have anything to worry about. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we find ourselves worrying about lots of different things. And they don't even have to be very big things. And sometimes in the difficult times of life, maybe God is just pruning us a little bit. Maybe He is purging us. Maybe He's cleaning us up. It's ultimately for our good. We really don't have anything to be worried about. In James, it talks a little bit more about that. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And there again, it was a little bit different of a verse than what I was expecting. Verse 2, it says temptations, which in Spanish it has it more towards testing. So we're supposed to count it all joy. We're supposed to be happy when God tests us, when God sees fit to stretch our limits a little bit. Because it's ultimately to clean us up, to make us better. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, so that we can bear more fruit. That takes us to our second point. The key to bearing fruit is abiding. Jesus put a lot of emphasis on abiding in John chapter 15. All the way down through these verses, He's mentioned it again and again and again. Abide. Abide in Me. I had to think about how it is nowadays with our smartphones, technology. How if we don't have our phone in our pocket and if it's not connected to the internet, people who are used to it feel like they're disconnected. They feel out of it. They feel like they're completely lost. At least I've had that feeling. When we came up here, I especially had that feeling because I was in a totally new area. I was completely, I didn't know my surroundings. I didn't know anything. And as soon as I got a connection, Ernest took me down. I got connected. And I was able to use my maps. I was able to actually function. I was able to get in communication with people that I felt like I needed to be in communication with. When Jesus is talking about abiding in Him, that is how the Christian needs to be. He needs to be connected with Him. We need to be connected. And when we become disconnected, we really need to feel out of it. Because it needs to be something that we rely on. Now, I think we rely maybe too much on technology, but we do need to rely on Jesus. We need to abide in Him. We need to stay connected. In John, 1 John, talks, I appreciated these verses that we read this morning. Read some of the verses that we might be looking at. In verse 3 of the first chapter, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." It's that fellowship, it's that communication, it's that abiding, that connection that we need with Jesus, with Christ, that enables us to bear fruit. Enables us to be full of joy, even in the difficult times of life. Chapter 2, verse 1, the very end, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus knows what we go through. He knows what we're facing. And he is our advocate. Then down in verse 24 to verse 29, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We need to abide in Christ. It says, little children, abide in him, that which he shall appear. We may have confidence. It just had to make me think of, again, of the example of my son, how he completely trusted in me. He was too young to really understand or comprehend what was going on. He didn't know that he was in a life and death situation. He couldn't comprehend that. The only important thing to him was that I was there beside him. And he trusted in me. He knew me. And that comforted him. In John 15, verse 5, we'll also hear, now that we're here, in verse 29, it says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. There's evidence in our lives. Also in verse, back in John, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. The evidence of us being connected to Christ and to the vine is that we are bringing forth fruit. And it doesn't just say fruit, but it says much fruit. And it goes on to say, for without me, you can do nothing. There's no middle, just fruit. It's much fruit. And it's without Christ, it wouldn't be anything. We need to be dependent on Christ. We need to depend on him. We need to be connected, abiding in Christ. Just like those branches, just like those branches, they're not connected to the vine, they will dry up, they will die. Verse 2, I think I mentioned a little bit, pointed out already, but we need to expect to go through the purifying process. And it's not always pleasant, but it's for our good. There really is no need to get all bent out of shape when the time of proving comes. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Another way that it's important. It's very, very important for us to be spending a lot of time in the Word. That's another way that we can purify our lives. We need to be abiding in Christ, but stay connected to Jesus, continue in the Word. That's the way we stay connected. Also, there was the verse 9 and 12. Says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Then right along into verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's another evidence that we are connected to Christ if we love one another. If we're not loving one another, then that's evidence that we're not connected. We won't be expecting to bear any fruit. The third point, the key of abiding, is obeying. The first point with the key of living is bearing fruit. Second, the key of bearing fruit is abiding. Third, the key of abiding is obeying. In verse 10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my commandments, my Father's commandments, and abide in his love." And then in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So another key step in this whole process is obeying. Obeying is the key to abiding in Christ. In Matthew, Jesus talks more about that, and Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 7, sorry, chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many powerful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That is some pretty startling words. We do not want to hear those words. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." It's not just simply saying, "Yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes, I am a Christian." It's not just professing to be a Christian, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." But it's him that doeth the will of my Father. We need to actively be doing. It takes us right to the fourth point. And that is, the key of obeying is love. There is three levels of obedience. And I'm sure that those that are fathers have witnessed this in their children. There is the level of obedience that is from fear. Fear of the punishment, fear of being hurt. And there is a proper fear of God. There's that, but we're not going to get into that right now. That's another subject. And then there's the obedience because we want to achieve something. or the selfish obedience, if you can say it that way. The self obedience because of self-preservation. It's almost like the fear-based obedience. We do look for reward, and we do expect someday we hope to go to heaven. Matthew 19:27, it talks about Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, we do expect to receive a reward. But there's also the third level of obedience. That is the obedience because we love. We obey, we love Jesus. We love Jesus, and that's why we want to do his commandments. It's a love-based obedience. And that is the level of obedience Jesus wants to see in us. So, the last point, the fifth point, the key of loving is knowing. We cannot love Jesus if we don't know him. If my little boy had never known me as his father, he would not have loved me, he would not have trusted me, he wouldn't have just laid there on the table, trusting. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 21, says, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This verse is showing us that the way we get to know God is by reading the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. And we can get to know God and know who He is by reading the Bible. Also, John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How about when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also guides us into all truth and also guides us and teaches us as we go through life, as we read the Bible, and it helps us to know who God is. Also, just spending time with God. Just spending time with God in prayer. Alone with God. Reading His Word. Walking daily with Him. It's the daily walk of the Christian is what teaches us or shows us who God is. And that's why I said this is the first point, because actually this is where it all starts. It starts by getting to know who God is, by actually walking with God. Because if we don't know God, by knowing God, we come to love Him. By loving Him, we will obey Him. By obeying Him, we will abide in him. By abiding in him, we will bear fruit. By bearing fruit, we will experience the joy, peace, trust that we so much long for. In closing, I want to also just look at a couple more verses about in 1 Thessalonians. There's also chapter 5, verse 17. There's a verse here that also... Well, this isn't the one I was expecting, but it's a very important one. Pray without ceasing. The verse before that, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's through this kind of prayer life, pray without ceasing, I think is what brings me to the... It makes me think of going through our day, God conscious. Going through our day, being conscious that God is near us, that we can be walking with him, we can be communing with him. Just being conscious that God is ever near. Have him included in all of our life's activities. In Psalms, the first psalm explains the value of God's word in bearing fruit. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's where our delight needs to be. That's where our joy needs to come from. By meditating in the Word of God, getting to know Christ more. The Bible is a book that... There's a saying the other day. I should have wrote that saying down, but... It said something like... The Bible never grows old. It grows... I shouldn't even say it. It just came to my mind right now. But the Bible grows old with us. We never get too old for the Bible. The more we study it, the more there is. The more we understand, the more we learn. We never outgrow it. In Matthew 7... Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. God really does have our best interest in mind. He really does. But he needs us to be dependent on him. We need to depend daily and constantly on his goodness. Jesus wants us to ask him for everything. He wants us to be dependent. He doesn't want us to be self-sufficient. And he really does want He does have our best interest in mind. It just doesn't always feel that way, because the son if we are children of God, God also gives us punishment. I wanted to say castigate, because that's the the Spanish word castigar. Chasten, yeah. So, in closing, I just want to read over this one more time. By knowing God, we come to love Him. By loving Him, we will obey Him. By obeying Him, we will abide in Him. By abiding in Him, we will bear fruit. By bearing fruit, we will experience the joy, peace, trust that we so much long for. May God bless y'all as you endeavor to serve the Lord here, and keep us in your prayers. We so much appreciated being with y'all this time and over this time, and feel very indebted. Lord willing, we will be going back to Honduras the 2nd of December, and pray for us there in Honduras. May God bless you.